We have just a few announcements. First one is we are celebrating the Lord's Supper this morning, so please make sure you have a communion cup. They are located on the podium at the back. We also have them in the tray at the front. So if you didn't get one on your way in, please grab one. The search committee, just continue to keep praying for God's leading and guidance as we look at a candidate in this coming week. And Wednesday, we'll be having Bible study at 7 p.m. We are looking at prayer, and we will be looking at how God speaks to us in his word and other ways that we can hear his voice. So please join us to look into God's word if you're able to, Wednesday at 7. Also, there is a poster on the back for the Ride for Refuge. It's an in-person fundraising 5-kilometer walk or 20-kilometer bike ride on Saturday, September 23rd. It's in support of Matthew House Windsor. They're looking for not only participants, but also sponsors and volunteers. So if you're able to participate, or if you're able to help out in any way, you can call or go to their website that's listed on the poster on the bulletin board and get more information on ways you can help or get involved with that. Next week, our speaker will be Mr. David Gurley, so we look forward to having him back again. And today, we're so happy to have Reverend Scott Dakin joining us. It's been a long time, so we're really pleased to have him here this morning to bring us God's word. So before we continue, let's just join our hearts in prayer. God, our Father, we thank you so much for your goodness, for your provision, for your love, and for the sacrifice that you made that we can come to you and have eternal life. Lord, we just thank you that it's only through the power of the cross that we have that. Lord, I just pray that as we worship today, that anybody that is here that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior would hear the message through the songs, through the scripture, through the message that's spoken. And Lord, just soften our hearts and help us to take the message that you have for us this morning and apply it to our lives. Lord, I thank you for each person here this morning, and I thank you that we have the freedom to come and worship together. Lord, I pray for anyone in our church family that is not here due to health issues or that they're away, anybody traveling, Lord, give them safety as they travel, and anybody that's in sickness or in pain, Lord, just ease that burden, right, even as we speak and pray this over people. Lord, I just thank you for this church and our community. Lord, help us as we continue to seek a pastor, be faithful in speaking out and reaching out. And Lord, we look forward to a potential outreach event in September, October, as we partner with another church that wants to help. And Lord, we just thank you for all of the people that have helped out to carry this ministry. Lord, we just ask that as we continue in this service that you will again draw us to yourself and help this to be a rich time of communion with you, especially as we prepare our hearts to come to your table this morning. I pray all of this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So we're going to continue.
Good morning, Ambassador Baptist Church. Good morning, Mary. Good to see you. And George. Ashish. I forgot your wife's name. Sneha. It's really good to see you. In case you didn't know, Hey, is that Adam? Adam, good to see you, man. This is really good. I miss you folks. And it is a privilege to come back here to Ambassador. It's been a minute. Four years. Same God, right? Same Savior, Jesus, that we follow. Different people coming up to give the word. I would like to pray with you, and then we're going to look at a passage. If you want to turn your Bible to 1 Timothy 3, we're going to look at a few verses and celebrate the Lord's Supper. This is deja vu, okay, coming back in here. And it's really a blessing. I have a lot of really wonderful memories here. Esther and I do, and Matthew here too. And so it's really good to be together. I'm going to pray with you. And just join your hearts here with me together. We bless you, Lord, from our hearts for your faithfulness and your goodness. You are great. You are the majestic, high and lifted up God. There is no one who compares to you. So we just bend right now and submit to your leadership in our lives, to your authority. Lord, align even as we sing and listen to your word. Even align today, I pray, any area in our lives where we are not under your direct leadership. I pray that, Lord. It's such a blessing to see each person here in this house. I pray, Lord, today, thank you for the steadfast love of this body of believers. Thank you, Lord, for Kevin and Dawn and their steadfast leadership here, their faithfulness, and to each person here, Lord, who has gathered and holds up the gospel truth here. Thank you, Lord, for Kevin and Dawn's hospitality, too, for us, for Esther and I and Matthew here these last couple nights. We pray, Lord, today in the name of Jesus for the fruit of the gospel to continue to flow out here into this community from our homes and out. Would you come and bring this as you promise when we speak of you and for you? We ask that you will provide, echoing Dawn's prayer, a shepherd for this flock at Ambassador on the West End. Lord, they've been patient in waiting and praying and searching. We ask that you will bring in really good time here the person you want to take on the mantle of pastoring here at Ambassador. So come and do that. We pray today for all the churches in this Windsor area that are holding up the name of Jesus. Would you honor and bless the word that goes out from pulpits? And I pray today that you will speak your life-giving words again as we open up your word here together in person. Come and minister by your Holy Spirit, Lord. I pray you will not allow the enemy to snatch away what you want to do in each of our hearts here. So come and have your way among us, we pray. We lift these things up to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I read in 1 Timothy 3, it's really nice to have Katie here with her new baby, Colin. So I said we're going to pray blessing over this baby. And because I have a wireless mic, I can do that. I'm going to come back. Katie, you want to see Colin grow up to follow Jesus, right? So I'm just going to come over here. And if you want a church family, you can put your hand up. He's smiling. And Lord, thank you so much for this precious life, Colum, that you have gifted to Katie. We pray your continued health over him. And most importantly, we pray spiritual life in the name of Jesus for this boy. Lord, give Katie everything she needs as his mom to guide him towards you. And we look forward to hearing one day of his conversion to Jesus and his baptism. So we lift him up. We lift up Katie and all of the family and the future for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. So if you don't have a Bible, you can. There's a pew Bible in front of you. 1 Timothy 3. And if you would please stand as you're able as we read together. 1 Timothy 3, and I'm just coming down to verse 14 through 16, okay? Paul is writing to Timothy. I hope to come to you soon, but I am writing these things to you so that if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of the truth. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, and taken up in glory. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. It is a real delight to be with you, and I want to spend a few minutes walking with you through these few verses that unpack the mission of churches by God's design. And I just want to give you a really fast overview of 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul is writing to Pastor Timothy, younger in the faith, and he's saying, beware of false teachers. He gives the reason why Christ came at the end of chapter 1 to save sinners. He calls for prayers for all people. He gives instructions for leaders in the church, chapter 3, down to our passage. And then he warns Timothy that you're going to see some people walk away from the faith and leave Jesus. Don't be shocked by that. And then he gives further instructions on caring for widows in the church, chapter 5. And more instruction on leadership with the elders. And then chapter 6, again back to false teachers. And then you, man of God, Timothy, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. And you know, we know this, that we are in a battle, aren't we, every morning when we wake up. Paul is writing to Pastor Timothy in Ephesus. This is the wealthy port city. His main introduction in writing is that we may know how to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of the truth. So standing in the city of Ephesus, has anybody been to Turkey on a trip? Okay, yeah, you have. Was the great temple to the Greek goddess Diana. The temple was a bit bigger than a football field, with 127 marble pillars around its perimeter, 60 feet tall and 4 feet in diameter. So this may have been in Paul's mind when he describes the church as a pillar and a buttress of the truth. So Paul might be saying, you know, you think that this temple of Diana is one of the seven wonders of the world. I have a structure called the church that is great and is designed by God to bring life into our planet here and encouragement. It's helpful to know the directions that God gives to his bride, the church. And this is really a refresher and a reminder on the mission of the church and where we put emphasis as shepherds and leaders. And with September routines coming, brothers and sisters, it's great to see you here today. Where will you be next Sunday? So consider that as we go through here. I'd like to briefly draw out how we are to continue behaving in the church based on this scripture. This is not theory, but very practical about leading and interacting in the church. Here is our guiding blueprint for how we ought to behave in God's household. And you know what? Coming out of COVID, as we all have, I'm finding coming back at our church in Sherbrooke, Quebec, keeping the main thing is always the challenge. We're here to make disciples of Jesus. That's why we're here. So first, Paul is describing the church as the household of God. Peter, And in the book of Hebrews, uses house language. We are God's house. We have a great priest in Jesus over the house of God. We are being built like living stones into a spiritual house with the living Christ as our cornerstone. Okay? I remember leading an anniversary service here at Ambassador. And it was in 1 Peter 2. And as a reminder, I invited people to come to the front and pick up a little stone and take it home and be reminded that you're a part of this living structure called the church. Paul has already spoken of how we relate in the church with respect to elders and deacons and household roles. Paul speaks of the minister's role with his house as a stewardship from God, entrusted with the truths and mysteries of God. He's giving attention to authority and responsibility within the church family, those who lead and those who follow, with a stress on how to behave in godly ways. Church family members are called to godly attitudes and actions, as we read in Timothy, called to pray, men lifting up holy hands in worship without quarreling, demonstrations of modesty and good works, pastors and leaders aspiring to lead well in their homes, not perfectly, but well with God's help, so as to care for the household of God. Second, so there's the household of God. We lead and serve and follow in God's household, knowing this is the church of the living God. So the authority for the church is found in God Himself and God alone. We as pastors, as leaders, as preachers, do not have authority in and of ourselves. I have to remind myself of that. Nor does any other leader in the church. Leaders submitted to God's leading voice in Scripture always make for healthy churches. Amen? And pastors and preachers who do not fully submit to the voice of Christ make for unhealthy churches. And we've seen the devastation in some cases of that, what happens. The church of the living God is where He manifests His presence in the gathered assembly. The Spirit of God is among the ecclesia of believers in Jesus. And so as you gather each week and in homes and for prayer and Bible study here, the living God inhabits individual temples and gathered families. You are the temple of the living God, individually and collectively. Do you not know that you are God's temple, that God's Spirit dwells in you? So what a powerful and precious thought that goes way beyond a routine of coming just to sing, to listen to a talk, and to go home. Our living God meets with us as we gather in the name of Jesus. And so with this truth, there is a reverence and there is an attentiveness that comes as we gather in the name of Christ. And I have to remind myself, even as a pastor sometimes, when I come on a Sunday morning, I'm coming to meet with the living God, with my brothers and sisters. Keep saturating your services with both the powerful words of God and with an ear to the Spirit of God leading amongst you. And then here is how we ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, described third as a pillar and buttress of the truth. So, Paul describes what is at the core of this truth in the church in verse 16. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh. He was vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, and taken up in glory. Do you confess Jesus Christ as Lord this morning? This church and every church that honors the true God is tasked with promoting and protecting the gospel. We see it in Quebec. Churches that don't honor the gospel on our street in Lennoxville are dwindling or closing. So with your leaders, with Kevin and Don and others, I want to encourage you to keep this ship on course with God's gospel mission. Don't let up. Keep praying, presenting the gospel. It is the only God-endorsed direction. As we know, Paul gives clear direction about holding fast to truth in his letters. God, our Savior, desires all men to be saved, to come to a knowledge of the truth. Our children, right? Our grandchildren, our neighbors. So we must present key truths of the gospel in order that people may hear and repent of sin and believe in Christ and be baptized and follow him. My challenge to each of us, myself included, is this fall. How will I speak of Jesus to other people? How will I tell them a bit of my story? How will I give them a Bible verse and start putting the seed in their heart and letting the Holy Spirit do what he does? And that is converting people. May God continue to empower each of you in your leadership and modeling being gospel witnesses. I remember Michelle Dorian coming to an Alpha course with us here. She became a Christian. Her face changed. The joy of the Lord came up. She still struggled. She's in heaven. The gospel was presented. We keep doing this. We keep bringing the gospel out. This is at the heart of hearing the phrase one day, if you would like to hear it personally. Well done, good and faithful servant. And don't be too discouraged, brothers and sisters, when some depart from the faith. They walk away and they're in the church here and leadership and they walk away and devote themselves to untruths. It will happen. People will turn to love themselves more than they love God. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, Isaiah says. The enemy Satan is consistently chiseling away in our culture at God's gospel truth. And each of his good designs in humanity, did God really say? Yes or no? Yes, he did. Created male and female in his image. Go down the whole list. Finally, Christians and Timothy, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth, coupled with avoiding irreverent babble and myths that lead people away from the truth. So, keep on studying the Word of God at home and in the study on prayer and what's coming next. Gather with other believers. One of the great disservices of not gathering during COVID is we didn't have fellowship properly, and so we couldn't grow in the same way. But we have full opportunities. Don prayed, we are free to come. You're free next Sunday to come here, whether I'm preaching or somebody else is. It's not about me. So Paul charges us in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead by his appearing. Preach the word of God, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and with teaching. This book is our guide for staying on course until we breathe our last. And so may the God who called each of us into ministry empower us by his Holy Spirit to hold fast to his truth in the Word and invite people to be Bereans of the wonderful Scriptures. Pillars and buttresses are extremely important in all facets of life. We came, we noticed, driving down Wyandotte, the new bridge going up, Gordie Howe Bridge. Listen to this. At 6:05 in the evening on Wednesday, August the 1st, 2007, in the heat of rush hour, the heavily trafficked four-lane I-35 steel bridge over near Minneapolis gave way and fell 80 feet into the Mississippi River. Do you remember this story? In all, 111 vehicles were damaged, or worse, 98 people were treated at local hospitals and 13 died. After months of investigation, it was determined that the gusset plates, small sheets of steel applied to joints or beams for reinforcement, were half an inch too not thick enough. The support beams under bridges are life-sustaining, death-defying realities that we almost never think about unless they fail. Just imagine how many people drove over the I-35 bridge on the day before it fell. On average, some 140,000 cars. They look to the right, they look to the left, enjoy the view. Too many churches have collapsed and taken lives with them because of thin gusset plates that lack truth. It is sad and it is tragic when the truth we're meant to hold up and draw attention to begins to take a back seat in the church and in people's lives. They begin coming for reasons other than the truth. I was told I need to go to church. Some people will not endure sound teaching but turn away from listening to the truth. So a challenge and an encouragement to the pillars in the pews here at Ambassador. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you. If the church is the pillar of truth, does it serve that purpose in your life and in the life of this church? Are you committed? And wherever you go in this life, do you hold out Jesus? How are you contributing to Ambassador's pillarness of truth? Or not? Say, well, I'm just showing up here. Well, you can have a place of contributing here. Talk to Kevin and Don and others. Are you a thin and unreliable gusset plate waiting to break? Or are you devoting yourself week in and week out to the truth of God, to growing in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus, and then letting the aroma of Christ come off your life? So, I encourage you and I challenge you today, as Paul would with Timothy. Don't be timid. Be bold, be courageous. We confess the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh, Jesus. He was vindicated by the Spirit. He was seen by angels. He was proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. So it's possible you're here today, you've heard this, but you've never actually said, this is for me, not just for my mom or my dad. It's for me, the story of asking for forgiveness of sins. You can do that here today. I was going to say, the thought came to mind, and it's not workable today, is we fill up the baptism tank. We baptize a new believer here. If you are a buttress, a pillar in this church, brother and sister, commit to holding fast to the truth and strengthening this body here at Ambassador. Thank you for your service to the Lord. Thank you for continuing on in Christ. May this gathering at Ambassador increasingly be known as a household of God on the West End, the Church of the Living God, pillar and a buttress of the truth. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for each person here in this room. Thank you for your saving truth in Jesus, that we have been rescued from eternal damnation by believing and trusting in you, Jesus. If there's somebody here and the Spirit is speaking into your life right now and saying, I need to give my life to Christ. You can do this right here today with a friend, with myself, whoever. You can just call out, I need saving Jesus. And then join the other pillars and the buttresses here at Ambassador to move forward. Lord, I want to say, I'm reminded of this, to say thank you so much for the faithful people here at Ambassador who have served for years and years. Their labor in you is not in vain. It will produce, it is producing and will continue to produce fruit. I would pray today as well, as I pray at our church back in Sherbrooke, that you will raise up men of God who will stand up for you and not be ashamed of the gospel, and who will lead their homes, and who will lead in the churches, and testify of your goodness and grace. We thank you, Lord. Thank you so much that you're here with us. Thank you for each person. In Jesus' name, amen. So we are going to celebrate the Lord's Supper together, brothers and sisters. It's a privilege to do that here today with you. Before we partake, I just wanted to read for you this familiar creed called the Apostles' Creed. And it gives a succinct summary of what we believe. If you believe this in your heart, I invite you to partake in the Lord's Supper today. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic or Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. If this is true for you today, you've put your trust in Christ, I invite you to partake. If you have not come to get a cup, you can come up to the front at this time and grab one. Just take a moment to examine our own hearts, where we are. Anything in your own heart this morning that you need to confess out to the Lord, go ahead and do that. We thank you for the gift of forgiveness, Jesus, in you. Initial forgiveness to bring us into the kingdom, and forgiveness today for our sin. Perhaps apathy towards you. Perhaps a sexual sin that needs to be confessed. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and purify us from all righteousness. We receive this today, Lord Jesus. We thank you. Amen. This is the body of Christ given for you, broken on your behalf. If you peel back the top. Thank you, Jesus, for giving your body for us. Peel back the next layer. This is the blood of Christ represented in the juice. Thank you, Jesus Christ, so much for for shedding your blood to make us pure and righteous. We are clothed with the righteousness of Christ. And we say thank you. And we want to live for you. We want to shine out the truth of who you are. Empower us, Lord, as we remember you here at this table today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.